So the first thing the Lord tells us about prayer is, don't pray to people, to impress people. Now, it's very easy to say that. But to actually come to the place where you pray, in public anyway, to pray to God is quite difficult. At least I found it difficult. I remember the first time I prayed in public as a young man, I was more conscious of the people listening to me. I wasn't praying to Jesus at all. I mean, I knew the words to pray, but I was very conscious a lot of people are listening to me. And I'd go home and I'd say, Lord, that I didn't really pray that to you. I prayed it and made it impressive for people to listen. I don't want to do it like that. And the next time I'd pray in public, again it was there. Again I'd say, Lord. And I'll tell you, it took me years, not days, but years, to break free from that and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to pray to you in public as well. I want to be free from whether people think it's a good prayer or I'm talking to you and I'm leading everybody in prayer to you. I want to encourage you to, it will not come overnight. It may take you a few years, but you start today. Lord Jesus, help me to be conscious of you when I pray. And little by little, you know what will happen? You'll become more and more conscious of the presence of the Lord all the time in your life. And that will make a tremendous difference in your life. That you're conscious of the Lord's presence, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Your life will be so cheerful and joyful, and all that depression and heaviness that can come through circumstances will disappear. And your life will be like a smooth sailing on a calm sea. So here's something that we can train ourselves to develop. So he said, a hypocrite is one who's trying to impress people. He said, don't pray like that. It's the first thing he said, we're not to pray. And he says, people who do that, it says in verse 5, they got their reward. Their reward was, they wanted to impress everybody with their prayer, and everybody was impressed. Sure, they got their reward. That's not why we pray. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. We all are like that in the beginning. But if you battle it, dear brothers and sisters, you can come to a place, as I said, after a while, where you're more conscious of Jesus than about people, and gradually it moves on to our singing. So often when we sing, we are more conscious of the song and the tune and everybody singing together. We're not conscious that I'm praying to Jesus in that song as well. Lord, I'm saying something to you. It completely changes our life when we practice this more and more, that I'm praying to the Lord Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us. So that's a good lesson for all of us to learn in praying and singing, to develop the consciousness of Jesus being there and I'm talking to Him and praying to Him. And so in that connection, he said, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, verse 6, will reward you. Matthew 6, verse 6. When it says, go to your inner room and close your door, I look at it not just a physical door, that's also there, but in a room like this, when I shut my eyes, I'm closing the door. And then I'm praying to the Father in secret because I've shut the door. And I don't want to be conscious of other people here with me in the room. Close the door, and I pray to the Father. And the wonderful thing, when I'm really praying to Him, it says, your Father will see in secret, and He'll reward you openly. I want to encourage you to take that little phrase, your Father will see in secret, and reward you openly. So, the other thing he said about not to pray is, one was this, you know, pray in the presence of the Lord. Secondly, Matthew 6 and verse 7. When you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition. There are some churches where they say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's like it's a meaningless repetition. I believe in saying hallelujah. But if you read in Revelation in chapter 19, they always say hallelujah because. First time the word hallelujah comes in the New Testament, by the way, in case you didn't know, is in Revelation 19. Turn with me for a moment there, because hallelujah is a very common phrase used by Christians. And they'd be surprised to know that it's never used in the New Testament, except in Revelation 19. And I want to say hallelujah, but I want to say it the way it's written in the Bible. You know, when we align our thinking, not according to what is Christian tradition or a Pentecostal tradition, but according to the Bible, then it's good to say hallelujah the way the Bible says it. Turn with me to Revelation in chapter 19. So this is the first time, by the way, in the entire New Testament that the word hallelujah comes. It doesn't come at all before this. And he says here in the very first verse, the last part, hallelujah. Why? Because salvation and glory and power belong to our God, and because his judgments are true and righteous, and he's judged this Babylonian corrupt Christianity, which he calls a harlot here, and he's avenged the blood of his servants. And then a second time, hallelujah, again a reason, because the smoke of this corrupt Babylonian Christianity is judged, is rising up forever. And from the throne, the others also say, verse 4, amen, hallelujah. And then again, we find in verse 6, a great multitude towards the end saying, hallelujah, because the Lord our God, the Almighty, is reigning. So notice there that it's not an empty hallelujah. Hallelujah means Yah is the short for Jehovah. J-E-H is short for J-E-H-O-V-H, Jehovah or Yahweh. So Hallel is praise. Hallelujah is Hebrew for praise the Lord. So if you say praise the Lord in English, that's the same as hallelujah. So why am I praising the Lord? Yeah, something wonderful has happened. God has sovereignly overruled some situation. There can be all types of things. So what the Lord said in Matthew, turning back to Matthew 6, is don't say something meaningless in prayer. There are many Christians who develop a habit of saying something and they're not thinking of what they're saying. It's just as a ritual, they say, what we say must be from the heart. I mean it. I mean, praise the Lord because he's done something here. Praise the Lord because God is on the throne. Praise the Lord that he's triumphed over the devil in this situation or something like that. It's very good. And it's not just in prayer time, you know. And there are many times when I'm alone, I say, well, praise the Lord for what you did here, Lord. It's wonderful to see when he saves you from some accident. Spontaneous, Lord, praise you. I praise the Lord for what you've done. So don't use meaningless repetition. It's not just in the word hallelujah. There are other things that we think that God will hear us if I say that 20 times. That's what he says here in Matthew 6 verse 7. The non-Christians, they think, the Gentiles, they think they'll be heard for their many words. If they pray a long prayer, God will hear it. It's a lot of rubbish. I mean, God is a father. He's not waiting for a big lecture from you. Prayer is listening and then speaking to God. And I'll tell you, in my prayers, I listen a lot more than I speak. And I'll tell you the reason. Supposing I'm sitting here talking to a man who is 10 times more godly than me. I won't talk so much. I'll tell you honestly. I'll say, hey, I got a lot to listen from you, brother. I'd like to hear you. I mean, I may say a few things, and if I got 1 hour, I may speak to him for 5 minutes and listen for 55 minutes. I mean, if I'm speaking on a telephone, for example, and you see me speaking for 55 minutes and listening for 5 minutes, you'd be absolutely sure that the person at the other end of the phone is a young brother. On the other hand, if you see me on a phone listening for 55 minutes and speaking for 5 minutes, you know that the person on the other end is a more godly man than me. So imagine, if you're speaking to God, should you be listening more or speaking more? You can answer that. Definitely you should be listening much more. But so many people, it's sitting in the presence of the most of a godly person, let's say a human being first of all, and you talk, and they can say, okay, bye. You don't even give it a chance to talk. That's how a lot of people pray to God. They're given their big shopping list to God. This is what I want. This is all these things. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen. And that's why our prayer life is so shallow. Our relationship with God is so shallow. It's like a husband and wife who hardly ever talk to each other. If a wife, all that she tells her husband is, okay, when you come back from work, here's a list of 25 things that you must buy for me when you come back. And that's all there is every day. A lot of Christian people's prayers like that. There's no expression of, don't you think a wife should express her affection to her husband and say how much she loves him? And that's how I do that frequently to Jesus. God already knows my shopping list. I don't have to make a list to him on that. But what he wants to hear from me is that I really love him, that he means more to me than everything else in the world.